This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, and welcome to the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and we're here at Gillette Stadium on March 19th. It's a full house right here with Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart. What's going on, guys?
Thanks, Lori. Exciting position this week with the running backs. Some of the marquee playmakers in the draft. Obviously, everyone knows about Darren McFadden. But I think a PFW favorite is Illinois' own Rashard Mendenhall. Tom Casale knows I fell in love with him after I watched a couple regular season games. Only strengthened when I watched his highlight tape. I think he's every bit the playmaker McFadden is, and in my opinion, the best, safest pick in the draft. I think those two are elite franchise backs, and I think some of the baggage McFadden has, Mendenhall doesn't. So, boys, talk about the top two running backs.
Well, I agree with you on Mendenhall. I think he could be Rookie of the Year if he goes to the right team. Also think he could be key to the Patriots trading down, because I think teams are going to want to get up to get Mendenhall. I know he's really soaring up draft boards, a real tough runner. You know, he breaks a lot of tackles, and then once he gets in the open field, he's gone. That's the reason I like him a little bit over McFadden, like you said, other than the baggage, is McFadden has shown me that he's not always the toughest guy. Two times last year, I think it was South Carolina and Alabama, games were on the line, and he was on the sideline standing there with just minor injuries. Now, I know you could say, well, maybe he didn't want to ruin his payday and everything, but it's things like that that I kind of watch and look for. So I think what you said is right, Andy, that McFadden is a home run hitter, but overall prospect, Mendenhall a little bit better.
I think Mendenhall made some money, in my mind, against USC. That one play
I agree
where he
that.
Looked like an elite playmaker against what we know is
an elite
defense.
Playmaking defense.
So, you know, to me, that's where you go, this guy's not good. He could be special. And I think you put him in, as Tom says, the right situation. I think he could be an immediate impact playmaker in the NFL.
One of the things I liked watching film of Mendenhall was the way he was patient enough to wait for his blockers, read his blocks, get downfield. Tough to take down on the first try. Not a lot of first tackles made on him from what I saw.
Reminds me a lot of Edgerrin James like that. Like he's, like you said, he's kind of patient, and then he gets through the hole.
The
you
burst.
Can't bring him down. I mean, the edge before the knee injury
right.
when he came out
You're
of
right.
college.
Edge used to have that where he looked like he was going to get stopped for no gain or a loss, and then he'd shoot forward for a five-yard gain, and you're like, how did that just happen? And Mendenhall does do that because of the patience and then the burst.
Yeah, they're very both of them, I thought, were obviously you're watching highlights, so you're not seeing the negative plays, you're not seeing bad runs where they pitter-patter in the backfield and get stopped for a two-yard loss, but just the explosion for both of these guys. And I guess, you know, McFadden was very impressive, too. I mean, obviously, everybody knows he's considered
well,
the best.
Well, you start with him
back.
As one.
Yeah, he's the best. I mean, everybody considered him the best. But Mendenhall, and I totally agree with the point you made, Andy, about USC. Those are high-flying guys that swarm to the football, that play good, tough defense. And he made them look bad at times, especially in the second half of that game. He single-handedly got Illinois back in that game. Now, USC ended up pulling away again in the fourth quarter. But Mendenhall, basically, they had no quarterback play in that game whatsoever. And he completely put the team and the offense on his back. I was very impressed with him. I think you could do no wrong with either of those two guys. I'm still not sure in the whole debate that we have on PFW in progress, do you take a running back that high? You know, I think these guys are extremely talented, but I'm still not sure I'd want to take a guy in the
top
10.
I don't think I would. And that gets into my next point, is the depth of the running back in this draft.
And you don't have to because of that, right.
Our good friends over at NFLDraftScout.com have, first of all, somewhere in the range of 25 backs getting drafted in the seven rounds of the draft. As many as five or six possibly going in the first round. There's a whole group there. After you get those two guys, you know, some people think Jonathan Stewart is also an elite guy. I know one of those people is Jonathan Stewart, who thinks he's great. Had the foot surgery, which in some circles is a pro because people look at him as wanting to be ready to play. But it could hurt his draft stock because, you know, there's some questions about the health there.
I would
think
it would hurt his draft stock.
But next in line you have Jamal Charles, the kid out of Texas. Felix Jones, Arkansas teammate of McFadden, who was sort of their big play guy. I have my concerns about him coming in and being an every down running back in the NFL.
But boy, can he fly.
Definitely big play guy. What was it, 8.7 yards per carry over his career or something like that, Tom? And then Chris Johnson is a guy who's really elevated his stock, obviously, at the combine. I think he ran a 4.24, fastest time at the combine, had the highest vertical jump. Watching him on tape, he's a returner, and in my mind, he's a third down back. I just don't see him as being an every down back in the league, and that's what I think McFadden and Mendenhall separate themselves. I think they can do it all, but, you know, Paul, I know you liked Chris Johnson after watching the tape.
Yeah, no, but I kind of agree with your assessment there. I thought that a lot of the stuff they showed on the tape was coming out of the backfield, and I think, you know, there's a lot of guys like that. You know, we have Kevin Falk here in New England who's done those kinds of things for a long time, but I think he could be a dynamic kind of player in that role. You know, Darren Sproles does it a little bit for San Diego with a little bit more big play ability than some other guys do. But
Maurice Jones-Drew was a guy who people thought was only going to be a returner, third down back. He's sort of evolved into a 1-2 punch.
Johnson put up big numbers last year too.
Like, I like
the tailback position. So I think there is a trend moving towards that. You know, you had Westbrook start it a few years ago. You know, everyone thought the exact same thing. He's going to be a returner. He's going to be a third down back, Tiki Barber. So I think as long as you don't give these guys 30 carries a game, like what you said, Maurice Jones-Drew, perfect example, they can be effective as running backs. And as Paul said, you could use them other ways because Bill always says you got to scoring touchdowns is the number one thing. Yeah. And this guy can score touchdowns.
Well, and there's a lot of, you know, Felix Jones in my mind, I'm not sure he's a franchise back. I think he might be a guy that you have to use on third down and hits and, you know, mix him in with somebody. He actually worried me at the combine when he said he never thought about transferring and, you know, he kind of liked the 1-2 punch with McFadden. And that makes me question, does he have the mentality to be alpha male or whatever you want to call it and carry the load and be the main horse on an NFL team? So some of those guys, I have questions.
He's a tough one to peg. There's two guys I think that could sneak around and be that kind of. I agree with you. On the surface, you're looking at McFadden and you're looking at Mendenhall. But Ray Rice from Rutgers is a guy who really carried the load in college, has unbelievable vision, just knows how to hit the hole, has deceptive speed. And then Matt Forte from Tulane, 220-pound guy. Saw him play against LSU and was really impressed watching him play against a team that had much more talent than Tulane. His patience, again, vision. These are guys that when you see him at the combine, they might not stand out, but they're good backs. And if they can get to a Denver or a place like that who knows how to take running backs and turn them into great players, I think those are a couple guys that could turn into that.
I agree with you on Forte. I have my reservations on Ray Rice, and it's strictly a visual. When I saw him in person,
I wasn't at the combine.
He was the smallest person I've ever seen him. He looks like Eric. No
offense,
Eric.
I know you said that was when you called me that day. That was the first thing you told me. He doesn't play small though.
No,
he doesn't.
I know, but that kind of worries me too. I would have my fears drafting him and thinking he's going to be.
You can't get around it. He's not an imposing figure. And in the way he runs, I think Tom described him perfectly because he's not a burner. So it's not like he's going to make guys, you know, constantly run away from guys. He's going to take hits, even though he did a good job of avoiding that at Rutgers. You know, I think Tom, you compared him a little bit to Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
In that regard, that he didn't seem like he absorbed a lot of huge hits, but he's a between the tackles guy. He's not a burner. And he's not big, so you wonder how long he's going to be able to be effective.
Yeah, there's another between-the-tackles guy that I kind of liked. I don't remember if you talked to him or not, Andy, at the combine, but it was Kevin Smith of UCF.
Yeah.
Watching him on tape, he kind of reminded me style-wise of Eric Dickerson, very straight up.
Yes, that's a good point.
And like you said, Paul, a between-the-tackles kind of guy, which you didn't see in a lot of the other backs who are sort of up on the draft board. A lot of them were kicking it to the outside or reverses and a lot of trick plays. This guy was straight ahead, right through.
He played maybe at a little bit lower level competition, not a huge school, but I think is a more traditional NFL back, whereas some of these guys, you're right, it was almost like high school football, run as fast as I can to the sideline and then go down
and
the sideline.
The edge,
and they can. Well, you know, at
in
some
NFL,
point,
you
that
you don't turn the corner
for
like
99%
that.
Of the backs. At some point, that stops, and you got to learn
and
how
they
to
do
run.
Play. They play a tough schedule.
I know.
He tore Texas up, and I'll tell you, I've seen him play three times, and he can play. When you just watch the eye test, when you look at the eye test with him, he can flat out play. Now, I've
very
seen him
impressive.
Get caught from behind twice. He doesn't have that blazing speed that you might, where McFadden might go 80. But I just think that's so overrated because I watch guys like Emmitt Smith go 50 and 60. Okay, they get tripped up at the 5.
Right.
Well, punch it in. You know what I mean? Like, these guys can. I think Kevin Smith is
quickness.
A player.
Yeah, I think you're right because as long as they have the quickness to get through a hole. Now, Ron Dane is a guy everybody said, well, he wasn't fast enough, and they should have known that he wasn't fast. He wasn't, but he also wasn't. wasn't really all that quick.
Right.
And he had a hard time getting through the holes when there weren't these Mack truck holes that Wisconsin was opening for him. Kevin Smith certainly was getting through holes. He wasn't just running to daylight on that tape. They weren't just these huge holes that, you know, Central Florida is opening up for him against a team like Texas. He showed that he could get through holes. He showed he had vision. So he didn't have, you know, a 4.3 40. I mean, I think he can work around stuff like that.
Right. And you mentioned Emmett Smith. When he was at Florida, they had a third-team walk-on quarterback play 1 year, and this guy was still getting yards. And I think that's something big to look at because Central Florida had no quarterback play whatsoever last year. So you had teams, even the good teams, putting eight in the box to stop him, and they still couldn't do it. So to me, that says something about the guy, that he can still run against those defenses.
Now, where does NFL Draft Scout have him, Andy?
NFL Draft Scout has Kevin Smith as a third- to fourth-round pick.
Sounds good to me.
See, I'd be more willing to take him than, say, a Ray Rice, because I think he has all the physical tools. Now, I don't know if he's going to be great, but he had the production, he has the build, whereas Ray Rice, I just fear the size, that he just doesn't have the frame to play in
the NFL.
The
only thing I would say about Rice on the positive side is kind of getting what Tom just talked about. He was the focal point of the offense for 2 years, and every team knew it, and he just maintained his productivity.
I mean, but I think he was good enough.
He did it.
That's one of those where he's good enough to do it at college.
Maybe.
You
got
to make the jump where every defender is better.
Right. I like Ray Rice more than you do.
When I watch Ray Rice play, I see the Broncos. Like, I think he would be perfect for the Broncos because they can kind of cover up that size, and he has that cutback skill. So I think, you know, they're obviously looking for running backs, you know, second, third round in Denver. I think he would be a good choice.
And that's what we've talked about. A lot of these guys, it's going to depend on where they end up and what they're asked to do, what kind of a role they're asked to fill. That's why I need to talk about one guy who I love but has no chance of succeeding virtually anywhere, and that's Mike Hart. Great college player.
Will be in the league for 10 years.
Will be a good backup for somebody, a few carries here or there.
Play special teams.
Loved the way he addressed it at the combine. Talked, you know, everything he said. I love everything about him. I just don't think he can play. A lot of carries. He's a pounder who's too small to be a pounder even in college.
Made a living off a three, four-yard gains in college. In college, you should be breaking 30, 40-yard
gains. To the four-yarders in the NFL, I want the 8 and 10 and 12 and 50-yarders in college. But, you know, I'll be rooting for him. And another guy I'll be rooting for, we'll make a quick shift over to the fullbacks, Schmitty. Owen Schmidt, fullback out of West Virginia. I like him. Breaks face mask. He's a mean guy. Had the mohawk at the combine. Well, he's fraudulent in his weightlifting stories.
That's why I said it.
I mean, the guy is a total fraud. He's supposed to, you know, bench this and clean this and all that. And he gets to the combine, and what did he do, 26 reps or something?
If he comes here, it may be written somewhere that you and I have to have a bench off with him. So.
But other than that, you hear Slayton and Pat White rave about him. They never worry about the first defender because they know that he's going to block him. And the highlight film we had didn't show a lot of his blocking, but I believe the players that are running behind him.
He's the best blocker in the draft.
Right.
I mean, he just, a lot of times you watch those West Virginia games and they do the slow motion and they show his, I mean, he just destroys people, gets them right out of the way. So when you look at the other guys, Peyton Hillis and Jacob Hester, they're not in the same league when it comes to blocking.
And he's a traditional fullback.
Hester is going to be in trouble because Hester's a running back.
Yeah.
Well, Hester's,
he's not
going to be able to play. Jack of all trades.
Yeah, and he's not going to be able to play.
He's Heath Evans.
He's Heath Evans. He'll get cut somewhere.
Yes.
You know,
he can catch the ball
fill
the
in
backfield.
Somewhere for somebody and have a good game and just bounce around. But Schmidt, to me, is a guy who could be a Lorenzo Neal. Just doesn't mind breaking face masks. Likes it. Bangs it in there. And then leaves the game with concussions 5 years later. But that's the kind of player he is, a throwback guy, walk-on, all that. So,
well, just one quick, before we go, I just wanted to mention one guy. After his sophomore year, Ali Broussard at LSU was considered a top draft pick, had some problems, had a lot of injuries. He was a much better prospect than Joseph Addai. And then he transferred to Missouri Southern. His sophomore year at LSU, 867 and 10 touchdowns. Last year with Missouri Southern, he had 892 and 12. He's a guy that's not going to get drafted. So you're looking at a guy that was once considered a top 15, 20 pick, maybe as an undrafted free agent. You see your team pick him up, the Patriots pick him up. He's a short, compact, strong guy, goal line type of guy. You never know with someone like that who used to have that elite talent.
It'll be interesting to watch the running back position because I do think the Patriots, and we talked about the third down backs available, I think there's a chance they look for a third down back.
Justin Forsett is someone we forgot to mention.
Yeah, Justin Forsett
is
another
very,
guy.
He's a very, very good receiver.
He could be a guy. I think they could look to get the replacement for Kevin Faulk, not necessarily this year, but get him in the system and maybe next year make that transition, a smaller third down, change of pace kind of guy to pair with Maroney going down the road here.
And maybe a guy who's not afraid to mix it up in blitz pickup,
sure,
pass protection, because you didn't see a lot of that on the highlight films. And that's tough to gauge when a guy, you know, has to make that adjustment. And in college, he's maybe not asked to do that so much. They put the fullback in or somebody else to do that. In the NFL, they're asked to do that a lot more. That's another area to keep
an
eye.
I say they draft Mike Hart.
Very deep running back.
I'll buy
class,
a jersey.
There's a lot of running backs in this draft.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even touch on another 10 guys that are going to get drafted and maybe making an impact in the league.
I think they're going to definitely be a lot of guys that are going to make a living playing on Sundays, as they say.
Says here, Rashard Mendenhall's the best back in this draft, and the second best back in this draft goes in the late second or early third round. I don't know who it is, but that's what it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Right? You okay with that?
I'm fine with
that. And Darren McFadden's out of the league in 3 years with issues.
No chance of that.
Out of the league in 3 years, Paul. Too many kids to support.
Is he the Lawrence Phillips of this draft?
It's not going to keep you out of the league.
Well, anyway. Oh, it'll keep him out of the league. Immaturity. Gone. Anyway, that's going to do it for the running backs, roster prospect report, or whatever we call these things. And to Babylon, I'm going to throw it back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next week for the Draft Prospect Review Podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pat.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.